Okay, before we do this next one, though, Dale, what's with the script?
What? We're going to talk some questions.
Okay.
It's that time of year again when your nice hosts take a few weeks off. The program will resume with new episodes in the first week of March or at the end of February for Patreon supporters. But each week until then, your nice hosts will re-air one of their favorite episodes from 2025, along with a few new thoughts about each one. This week's Nice Replay is episode 405, Fishing Minigame Collection, originally published on September 4th, 2025. I, Dale, picked this episode to troll Steven. The date we are recording this is December 7th. How is your fishing minigame collection coming, Steven?
It's
and what? Does it make it? That's 3 months?
Uh-huh.
It's plenty of time to get started.
Sure. Yep, it is. Yep. Right.
But Mark also picked this episode.
That's true. I picked it, but we had to fight over who got to...
Yep. Did you also pick this to troll Steven?
No, I picked it to motivate Steven. I'm the good cop in this scenario.
Oh, okay, fine. I edited this episode, and in the episode description, I wrote some questions. I thought we could go through them again.
Heck.
Okay. Number one, how many fishing minigames is too many fishing minigames?
I don't know. It feels like a pop quiz, but also I'm supposed to answer it now.
I mean, the way he's going, one.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go with 12.
Okay, sure.
That is too many.
I agree with that.
Okay. Two, is it okay to shoot fish with lasers?
In a video game, it is.
Only in the head.
What an answer.
Okay. Number three, who are those teenagers with the emo hair in the Bentley?
What?
That's what I had in there. I'm pretty sure this is a Final Fantasy reference.
Oh. Boy Trip.
Boy Trip.
Sponsored by Cup Noodle.
So, listener, I'm sure we make similar jokes in the episode.
Probably.
Okay. Number four. Should Steven make something on the playdate?
Yes. I probably should. I still have that playdate that you gave me after
the episode. I said I was going to loan him the playdate for development. I did.
Uh-huh.
And that's the end of the story from where I'm sitting.
Mm-hmm. Has not been returned yet.
It hasn't been returned yet. Yep.
And I'm going to leave it. And how many things have you seen at Playtest, Mark?
A great many.
And how many of them were from Steven on a playdate?
Let me check back. Zero.
Okay. Number, what is it? Five now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why do people go fishing?
There's no answer to that.
Yeah, I'm not going to answer that one. That's a moral and ethical quandary that probably...
I think we get into the episode too, but like fishing has nothing to do with fishing in video games.
Yes.
The experiences are totally separate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Well, like when I played... Witcher 3 Wild Hunt.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
The experience of sitting in a boat in that video game was very similar to sitting in a boat in real life.
So okay. You hated it?
No, it had nice little sound effects of water.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Therefore, fishing should be the same, yes?
I feel like it's a layperson's way to get close to meditation without actually meditating, honestly. Because okay. Yeah. The thing is like you can't do much. And you just kind of have to let it pass you by, but you have the promise of something's going to happen, so you don't hate that part as much. So uh-huh. You get kind of past the hump of I'm sitting here doing nothing, listening to things exist.
That uh-huh. is a much more profound answer than that question deserves. I
think the fact that we're so already just getting into it now
yeah.
is why we keep bugging you about this. It's such a good idea. It fits like what you want to be doing right now with your time.
Yeah,
and so we're bugging you about it.
Okay,
but like I'm excited about it as well.
Okay.
And so that's partly why we're being tough on you.
Fair enough.
Okay. And then the last question is, does anyone actually like fishing?
I've heard that is the case.
The only way I will find out is if I get to play this game that Steven made.
Heck.
Then I'll get back to you.
So good answer.
Pressure. Oh, okay. I'll we'll see. Yeah.
Well, now you know where we are now, but just in a few moments, you'll understand where it all began.
Again, new episodes resume at the top of March, where maybe we'll hear an update from Steven about his fishing minigame collection. If you want to skip ahead 1 week to make the wait a bit shorter, you can do that and get all of our episodes ad-free, plus exclusive bonus audio that's pretty nice, too, at patreon.com/nicegamesclub.
I'll tell you what I like about the way we do the nice thinking intros.
Yeah.
Is we say we're one of your nice hosts or a nice guest. Like, we don't change that, whether it is a nice host or a nice guest.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like 15 seconds. Well, it's still ongoing, I suppose, where you're not sure if there's someone else here with us. So I'm going to give listeners just a couple seconds to, like, you know, sit in that tension.
Yeah.
But who has the nice thinking?
It's me.
All right, it's Steven. No guest today.
Well, I mean, last nice thinking, I had the nice thinking, but we had a secret Ellen.
Right. Yes, that's true. So it could have been Ellen. Yeah, who would have known? Mystery. That's
right. Why you in fact, to this, whether this podcast. Whether your nice host or a nice guest brought something is independent of whether a guest is here or not.
Yes.
True.
Independent variables.
Yeah.
We like to keep you all on your toes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So my concept is something that Lydia brought up in a previous episode about a fishing minigame. You had a desire for like a bunch of fishing minigames in a game.
I had heard it as like a joke idea on the internet, which is one of those where it's actually a good idea. Someone being like, there's so many fishing mini games in so many full release games that it would be kind of funny to essentially have a game which is a fishing mini game, but every time you try to you get a fish, it pulls one of the mechanics from those like one of the fishing game mechanics from those other games.
Yeah.
And so because everybody handles a fishing game slightly differently. But just in general, poking at the fact that there are so many games that don't that are not fishing centric that have just catch a fish because you can.
Mm-hmm.
As I recall in that episode, and you'll have to rewind the tape to be for sure, but I think when you said it, there was like a audible inhale from you, Steven.
Yeah,
just like,
yeah, because I had thoughts about it because I was like, well, this could be something that it seems like actually feasible. Mm-hmm. Part of the thing is like with minigame compilation. If you're trying to make a Mario Party game, you're making like, you know, 10 little, or not 10, like 50 little games. And that's absurd for a small team to do.
Yeah.
Because like you're making small games. And they all need to be bug tested and play tested just to make sure that they work and things like that. Mm-hmm. And so even if it's just like the idea of at least a fishing mini game thing kind of reduces the scope down significantly in a way that I think makes it. Mark disagrees.
Yeah, well,
just saying. I mean, yeah, if you're gonna make like 10 of the same game, maybe. But
yeah.
Well, I don't think you're going to, right?
Yeah, yeah. I guess that's fair.
I think here's the question: is it a collection of mini games, and each of them is a distinct fishing mechanic, or is it one game and all of the fishing mechanics are used and expressed in some way?
Yeah, is this like a meta thing? Where, like, it gets more complicated as you play.
Sure.
Or if it's, like, certain fish will trigger certain fishing mechanics, and then you learn kind of something intrinsic, like, oh, all the river fish use this mechanic, but all the sea fish use this mechanic, or, like, the really big fish use the mechanic, mechanic.
What I'm hearing is that's what you want it to be.
That's what, okay. One.
Because it sounds like a good idea.
I don't want Steven to die. Two. I believe that was the context of the original post. Again, this was something like from the internet that my husband told me at some point. It made me laugh, and in a way that I'm like, yeah, that is actually kind of a fun idea.
Right.
Three, there is the question of, and I think we could start here because it's a good question that I don't know if anyone's explored, minigames.
Yeah.
If you have a collection of minigames, how different do the minigames have to be in order to warrant being their own minigame versus a mechanic in a game itself? Like, can you actually make a minigame collection that is distinctly about, like, all of them are about fishing, but each one is distinct enough that it deserves to be its own game? Because I think
I believe this is why no one's done this idea before, because I think a lot of people have had the idea, is that even though people go like, oh, I could catalog all the fishing minigames, I could tell you what's different about them, if you actually put them side by side, there probably isn't that much that's different about them.
Sure.
But I think then the question becomes, okay, if the core mechanic is the same across all the minigames, can you make the game the way you use them different enough that they weren't being in their own game, or the context in which they appear different enough that they belong as a collection of mini games?
Yeah.
Because, like, for example, there's collections, like there's collections of short stories that are all roughly on the same theme, and so they belong together, but they are very different interpretations on that theme, or they contain like a common character or a common franchise.
Yeah.
And so then the question is, where are the differences and enough that you build that wall?
Well, okay. So one of the things is, like, if this is if this thing is a collection of minigames, the collection of minigames don't have to be collections of minigames that people have actually seen. And they also don't have to make sense. Like, you can use a laser gun to collect to catch fish. Like, true. That would be fine. It's a video game.
There's a certain kind of get-out-of-jail-free card on this, which is, yeah. like, variations on a theme. Mm-hmm. And because the context is fishing minigame, you can have one of them that is just, like, in one of them you drive a tank.
Yeah.
Well, like, I think
yeah.
that it's
like,
actually...
It invites that kind of, like, you know...
That would be really funny because there's the phrase, like, shooting fish in a barrel.
Right, mm-hmm. yeah.
And so, it's like, if you are just literally shooting fish...
Yeah. It inevitably becomes a comment on itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's great.
Which is, yeah, I mean, maybe I'm sounding a little cynical about it, but, like, that's going to depend on who's making the comment, I
right.
think.
Well, yeah, no, that. I think it's okay to be a little cynical because I imagine this to be one of those, like, a game manifestation of... When you think something's stupid, so you say it a lot, and then yeah. originally you say it ironically, and then you come around to actually saying it unironically, but appreciating the irony, the original irony of it. I feel like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the problem is I didn't hear it ironically, and so
no,
that's
why
we're doing this.
Because there is a version of this which is just very, it's homage-y.
Yeah.
It's a love letter to the things. And in fact, because game mechanics themselves are not protected intellectual property, you could certainly just actually make all the minigames you've ever played in your life, fishing minigames, and make that collection.
Yeah. I think more it's like, it will hit the genuineness. It's just in how does it go, what emotional loop and intellectual loops does it go to then hit to the genuineness of like, yeah, this minigame, this fishing mechanic feels pretty good.
That's a very good question. The emotional hit of this collection of minigames will probably determine how I would make this game.
Well, the start of it is like, what's the why here? Like, what?
Why did it delight you?
Is it because it's funny, or it's because it's nostalgic, or because it's mechanically interesting?
Honestly, it seemed like an excuse to make a collection of minigames.
Okay.
And I've always wanted to do that.
Yeah.
As absurd as that is to do.
No, that's actually a good framework. Right? Yeah. Like, it's a theme.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is.
Right.
It's a theme to a different idea, which is a collection of minigames.
So so then we, nice listeners, we take that like idea of it's one game and the different mechanics, like possible ways you could fish, and it appears within, all of them appear within the context of a single game. Take that idea, clean it off a little bit, put it back into the bookshelf. We're going to deal with that later. But right now we're going to have a collection of minigames with fishing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now the question is like, What is the uniting thread?
So okay, so let me lay out a little bit of what I thought about this, because I actually don't know a lot of fishing mini games.
If you must,
if you must, I don't know a lot of fishing mini games, but I know there's a ton out there. And actually, Lydia has listed a ridiculous
amount.
Lydia
made a nice list here for us.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, some
for that.
Of this was off the dome. Some of this was from a couple Google searches.
Appreciate that. But effectively, I think one of the things I was kind of thinking about is like, the idea that like maybe you're like an archivist or something and you're traveling to different cultures and you're recording how they fish because
Ooh.
Like you want to know how they do it, and everybody has a different mini game for how they would fish.
Some of them are similar to like Professor Layton approach, basically, giving it a like a real reason why, but ultimately won't make a ton of sense.
Oh, I dig that. I dig that, actually.
Yeah, so you go to the place and they shoot fish out of a barrel or something.
Yeah.
But like,
here, we tie donuts to a string.
This is, okay, going hard academia for no good reason. There's this museum in Oxford called the Pitt River Museum, and it is an anthropological museum. And the thing that's really, really cool about it is that essentially it has an exhibit case that is all keys and locks. And it's keys and locks from different cultures, from different time periods, all in the same case.
That's
like,
cool.
It's not organized by culture. It's not organized by time. It's organized by item, which means you get like, well, when it comes to like tattoos or body decor, you get like temporary tattoos from the 90s next to a, like the types of like hollow instruments that you would use, the needles that you would use to like strike and tattoo someone's skin in a different place. I think they even like, you could even maybe have like a prison tattoo gun, and it would all make sense because that's how they organize their museum.
Yeah.
That I think is kind of cool.
Yeah.
But that's like,
so you're looking for a lens.
Yeah.
Right. And that can be artificial.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and maybe personal.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So the case of, in this sense, is the game. The name of the case is How People Fish. And then each of the mini games is each of the items in the collection with of the collection within that case.
Yeah.
Which is how people, how these people fish.
Yeah, it doesn't even necessarily have to be a cultural thing. It could just be like different, like different families or just different people fish.
I mean, the sort of somewhat comedy, I mean, there's no non-comedy version of this game.
Yeah.
But like... some of the thing is that you wash up on a little island in a fishing village, and just every 15 feet, there's somebody with a pole, like fishing in a little pond or a puddle or at the shore.
Yeah.
And they're like so densely packed, it's absurd, right? Like you always find one person fishing on a little island in a game.
Yeah.
But in this one, there's like 40 people, and each of them do it a different way.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have all come up with an interesting way to do it. Mm-hmm. And then when you go to each of them and you like, well, how do you do it?
Yeah.
Right? So not necessarily culturally, it could be very just like character based.
Yeah. I love that too. You know? Yeah.
That's a way to frame it. It could also be essentially like, if the whole point is, you know, if you are interested in the homage element where you're actually adopting mechanics from games that are either well known,
right,
it could be a matter of like you're going to the Museum of Fishing.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah. You know? Yeah, that's true.
Where they
have
simulations of all the different, you know. Or it could be really explicitly laid out in that sense.
Yeah.
You know, and you could have sort of like serial numbers filed off versions of like, you know, this is the one where, you know, a bunch of teenagers got in a Bentley and went across the country and this is how they did it.
Oh my gosh, that's great.
And people are like, I know which game you're talking about.
Yeah. That's funny. That would work too. Actually, that makes it that there's a lot of ways to do this, but at least we've narrowed it down to look at people to figure out how they fish.
Yes.
Well, I mean, we're peppering you with all these different ways to do it.
Yeah.
But like, what sings to you?
I actually had two questions also that maybe influences. Question one.
Sure.
Noodling for catfish. Are you counting that as fishing?
What?
Do you not know about noodling?
No.
Okay. So you catfish.
Yeah, somebody doesn't watch any TLC.
I learned about it more from Bon Appetit YouTube, excuse you.
High culture.
Yeah. So catfish, there is a way that you can fish for them because they're in muddy water. And essentially you make your fingers imitate a small fish.
Oh.
So that way it grabs onto your hand and then you can pull it out.
Oh.
So that's what noodling for catfish
is. I have heard of that before, just not that term.
I don't know if anyone's actually made a noodling for catfish game. I think that would be great.
That's definitely something that's going into this game, yes.
Well, context here is really valuable because you can have a lot of like fishing mini games where it's a spin on a bobber on the end of a line attached to a pole.
Yeah.
Like, but then suddenly you turn your corner and it's like, oh, this one's about fishing for compliments in a text thread. Do you know what I mean? Like you can kind of play with the sort of expectations and exceptions and what is fishing.
One of them could be a deep sea fisher who's desperate to go dating. And it's like very fish. There's plenty of fish in the sea and trying to like date. It's a speed dating simulator all of a sudden, but for like really crusty fisher people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I would like to limit this to the act of fishing to get a fish.
Okay. Right. That actually perfectly.
So your goal here is for it not to be any fun.
No.
No, but that perfectly segues into my second question, which is, does the type of fish that you're obtaining matter? Because how much it matters varies in the degree depending on the game. So like with Stardew Valley, where you need certain fish to make certain dishes.
Sure.
And also you're trying to like try to get all the fish or get a variety of fish for various reasons.
Mm-hmm.
That matters. In Pokemon, when you're fishing with different rods, it's like, I want this Pokemon as opposed to a different Pokemon, or maybe I get an item.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any meta component for... Or does each game have just its own scoring system that you leave with that?
Like, does the fish that you obtain from the act of fishing matter in any way long term, or is it just that you got a fish?
I see. That's a good question.
I'll say this is something that fishing minigames generally don't have a lot to say about.
It's like.
You'll either get something that will then go in your inventory as a food item or something, or a crafting item, and it just becomes proxy for item, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or in a lot of fishing mini games, it's just points, right? One of the hallmarks of fishing games is how artificial it is compared to the actual act of fishing.
Sure.
And that's partly because I believe fishing is pretty cruel.
Mm.
Like, you know,
It's because you're catching a fish and then they're out of the air, and then you even if you throw them back, like,
yeah, it's, you know, it's sport kinda, hunting is what it is, yeah, right?
Or like, subsistence like
fishing,
hunting.
Fishing for subsistence is generally what we're never talking about that, mm-hmm. really. Like in a lot of fishing games, there are very few fishing mini games whose context is I am feeding my family,
or like it starts off as subsistence because you're trying to feed yourself, and then as you get better, far outstrips that.
That's what happened. Sure. That's what happened with regular fishing.
Yes.
Right. Well, I don't know of any fishing mini game that is not sport fishing.
Sure.
Essentially. I mean, surely they exist, but
at Stardew Valley, you run out of stamina pretty quickly, and you can use them to cook food that then gives you certain extra abilities, like gives you more speed, gives you more luck, gives you better fighting, and so it. Like one of the recipes is called Carp Surprise. It gives you a lot of, it feeds you really well, gives you a lot of stamina. I don't think it does anything else, but when you are going someplace and you're going to run out of stamina and health, like having a couple Carp Surprises in your backpack is really helpful because then you don't have a lot of space you're wasting with other food.
I guess so, maybe I don't want to get too deep on this, but there's something interesting about mechanically requiring you to making vegetarianism basically mechanically detrimental.
Oh, like, I mean, like,
and from a story, I'm just talking about a story perspective.
Yeah,
like even in the context of Stardew Valley, in the narrative sense, you can just grow potatoes and apples and live. Mm-hmm. Mechanically, that's maybe not the case to have a good experience.
Sure.
But
it's possible.
Yeah.
You can be vegan, but
I don't know a lot. Yeah. I just don't know of any fishing mini games where in the world, fishing itself is not an optional activity.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
That's true.
Well, so I guess that's the question is, do you have any interest in that context? Is the fact that there is something interesting about it being kind of non sequitur and like staying true to that and not and actually avoiding the question of the implication, and that's actually part of the tradition of these things.
Yeah. I forgot Lydia's question. You asked it first. But I will answer works.
I think does it matter what kind of fish you obtain is like the collection aspect of the fish, or like the sportsmanship you want to get the longest fish matter, or is the end goal to obtain a fish?
Mm-hmm.
I think that it should matter what kind of fish you get. Mm-hmm. I had been thinking about like vegetarianism, veganism in with respect to this, like, Maybe you're not always trying to fish for fish, but you are maybe trying to like fish things out of the water.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So like
boots, et cetera, other cartoon objects.
Yes.
Yeah.
Joja Colas.
Yeah. Exactly. And so like some of those things that could be part of the experience.
Yeah. There's something funny about like getting a clump of seaweed and that being the highest scoring.
Yeah.
Item. Well, right. I mean,
just to confound expectations.
There is also like there are people who purposely fish invasive species. So like there are people who harpoon fish lionfish off the coast of Florida because lionfish are, the population is insane. Nothing can really eat them. And so they will, that's what they do. They just fill a huge sack of lionfish with their harpoon, take it out, and then they have this invasive trash fish and they figure out how to eat it.
Yeah.
There's a real option for metatextual components, right? One fishing mini game could be in a little pond. You walk up and there's someone who teaches you how to do it. And they're like, we stock this pond so that the neighbors can fish. It's really great. And then another fishing mini game is like, you know, that species is super invasive and we got to get rid of them all. And but because the games are separate, you actually can't do anything about it.
Right.
Yeah. All you can do is go and fish for them in the stocked thing. And then off the coast where they find their way, you have a different one where the goal is just to get them all out of the stream.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I've always found it interesting to have it so that like in a game, you only have one verb, and that verb in this game would be fishing. But like in other games, it's like jumping in Mario or something.
Yeah.
And that's the way you express yourself. And that's the way everybody else communicates with you is how you use that verb.
Yeah.
And so I would like this game to be a bit of that. And that's kind of why I was thinking of it in terms of like you go to different people and you collect, you get better understanding on who they are as a person or culture or whatever.
This is really Professor Layton coded.
It is kind of
where you go to like a little charming, you know, Bavarian village, and everyone is like, "Have you heard about puzzles?"
Yeah,
I love it. I love it.
And you're like, "I guess."
Yeah.
So it sounds like if we have the sentence, I is always going to be the subject, so it's the player.
Yeah.
The verb fishing is always going to be fishing, but exactly what that verb entails could change. Whether that means like, line and bobber or noodling or shooting it with a gun or catching it with your hands or harpooning. Yeah. Like it's fishing asterisks.
Yeah.
Or the direct object is the thing that matters and changes. So I'm fishing for trash. I'm fishing for this particular, with this goal in mind, like I'm fishing for the largest fish. I'm fishing for the rarest fish.
Yeah.
It's where a lot of variety can happen. Like some of them could be the goal is to get one of each. Mm. Others can be just to get the most in a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
And they can have totally different contexts for what's valuable, what a win is, what a high score means.
Yes.
And that can be the context by which you sort of communicate. That's the, could be the lens, right? Mm-hmm. It's like you have these constants that Lydia is describing.
Yeah.
And then where the variable is, you can just get really wild with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like re-implement and have lots of different options. And that gives you kind of a broader context on the constants that you've provided.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dale is eavespeeping and has asked if any of us have been to a fish hatchery and says that it's bonkers.
No.
Listen, folks, Steven needs some funding for this project.
Yes.
And a really easy way to do that is to give the show money on Patreon. So much money that, like, we run out of things to spend on the show, and we just have to funnel it into Steven's new Steven Business LLC.
So, for example, hands-on research, we buy a catfish to put in Steven's bathtub so he can practice noodling.
Right. I have a bathtub, yes. And... practice this noodling. Yes. If you send me money, you can go to patreon.com/nicegameclub. Send all of us money so I have so much money that I can get this catfish.
A catfish for every bathtub.
Now, any amount will get you ad-free episodes a week early, bonus content, including bonus segment from our recent 400th episode.
Yes.
But really, we need so much money, you guys.
So much.
So that we can fund Steven's bathtub noodling simulator. Is that
it makes sense?
No.
Sense.
This is cursory research fund order to help him make his fishing mini game.
Right. There is no other way he's going to make this happen.
Yeah.
So
you got to help me
again. Patreon.com/nicegamesclub.
I'm realizing now that this is a lot more complicated than
I
thought.
Well, here's the thing. Lydia and I are peppering you with all this narrative context because that's what floats our boats.
I did want it to be narratively interesting, really, so that is helpful to have that. But what were you going to say? Sorry.
Oh, I'm just saying, like, you don't have to burden yourself with that. That can come as a result of the work.
Sure.
Right? You can just start with, like, these are the types of games I want to do. And then you could let the why and the how and the setting and the context, that can all emerge from that work. You don't have to make those choices at the moment.
Right.
You can make those choices now. That's a way to do it, but you don't have to.
Yeah.
You know?
I definitely don't have to. Yeah, the scope can be as big or as small as I want it to be, ultimately. And it'll kind of build itself as it becomes a game.
Yeah.
That's kind of how games work a lot of the time. Would it be helpful for us to go through some examples of fishing mini games just to see what that like looks like?
Would it be fun for Steven to do that?
It would, yeah.
Let's do that then.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Okay, so a lot of these games I haven't played the fishing mini game of.
A lot of these I don't remember exactly.
Yeah, that's part of the issue I'm having too.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't even remember Skyrim having a fishing mini. Oh, they added it in later. It's like,
yeah, I've never done it, but I know that there's a map of fishing locations and you can get a fishing rod.
Yeah.
I personally have not done that because that's not how I play Skyrim.
Yeah.
But I know it exists.
Okay.
I think especially one of the, in terms of classic, is there's like Stardew Valley where you have to keep it something within a bar of like optimal things.
That one I remember and I did enjoy doing that one.
There's one where there's something similar where it's like you're trying to hit a point in the bar and the little ticker moves and then you have to hit it on the right spot as essentially like representing how well you reel in and then let it go and then reel in and let it go.
The traditional one is just like waiting for the bobber to sink in the thing and then press the A button and then mash A button to reel it in.
Button mashing is good and it's also like what type of button mashing. Mm-hmm. I will asterisk that because Dave the Diver has a bunch of different ways that like it different variants of button mashing or quick time event things for how depending on which harpoon tip you're using. I don't include Dave the Diver here because it is a fishing game by default.
Yeah.
So it's not a mini game, but like if you wanted a variety of button mashing mechanics, they're a good one to look at. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's essentially the idea. There even is just like bobber dips and then you flick and then ta-da, you caught a fish or you caught trash. Which I think is kind of, that is essentially how Pokemon works, because if you catch a fish, then you go into a fight.
Yeah, actually, that's funny. In Pokemon, it's effectively a fight. It's a minigame or an RPG fight.
Yeah, but you do have to click the bobber at the right time in order to then either get trash or to be like, oh, it's a Magikarp, and then
So that would be an interesting one to do, I guess.
It's like there are some fight where the fish is moving, mm-hmm. and so you have to angle your rod against the fish in order to make sure that it will keep coming towards you.
When I worked at Concrete Software as a QA intern, they had a fishing game. It was a full blown game, so it wasn't a mini game. Mm-hmm. But I think it had similar mechanics where you had to push against the fish.
Yeah,
the way it was.
I think
moving.
that
was more of like it was a Rapala branded. So yeah, it was a simulator. As far as those things go,
I think that might be how it's done in Tales of Arise. It's been a while since I've seen gameplay for it though. But that sounds vaguely familiar to me.
I keep thinking about like the sort of player visibility, like, and how the mechanics are expressed. Like sometimes fishing minigames will give you this like side cross section of the lake.
Yeah.
And you can actually see everything that's going on there. And it's more arcade style. Mm-hmm. And then some of them are like real fishing and are boring.
Yeah.
But like that's what's, you know, it's just the one minigame. You have to do it twice to get whatever you needed for the story. And then you can never touch it again.
Yeah. Oh, side note, like, is there a mini game that's actually a mindfulness exercise wherein the point is that you go fishing, but it's okay but you don't catch anything.
That's essentially what people who defend fishing as an activity will say about it.
Yeah.
It's like, sure, it's boring and nothing ever happens, but that's the point.
Yeah, it's a chance to get to do nothing.
That
yeah.
can't literally be the point of this minigame, though. That would work in this
yeah,
concept.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Like, I like the
that
idea of that being a minigame.
With the other ones that are more hectic or arcade-like can be really interesting when it's taken as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a great place to also recycle and use assets in different ways because it's like, oh, interesting thing is past neat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. So how would you go? I think I'm really interested in like how you would start putting this together.
Oh, I haven't think about that. Like,
yeah.
But I mean, you're literally making 20 different games.
Okay.
Right?
So that's off the dome. But is 20 the number?
No. No. It was going to be like 12.
Yeah.
I think.
Also a lot.
Yeah, I know it is a lot, but I actually, this is a good question because these mini games, fishing mini games, are short in tangent.
You can design a couple on paper. You can design all of the ones you want to do on paper, and then iteration time is quick. Playtesting would be relatively fast, and dev art is very suitable for something like this.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like you actually could. From a production standpoint, I just want you to make this thing.
Oh yeah, like dev okay. dev.
But production wise, you could get this on its feet pretty quick.
Yeah,
like, you should check up Fish Fear Me. Like if you need to just like see that you can have an effective fishing game that is not very pretty.
Yeah,
but has great music. I will say that.
I'll figure out ways to do art at some point, but I guess it's not necessarily the focus of this, because I can't do the art.
That's a whole separate question. Like, do you want them each to have their own style? Do you want to have a uniform style? Some in 2D, some in 3D? Is that part? But that becomes part of the sort of, like,
yeah,
later questioning.
That's way past paper prototyping.
Yeah,
and stuff.
But, I think, like that. Like I said, I think that's one of the reasons why this was an interesting concept is because, like, it would be relative. These are all mini games, and they're short. So, like, you could be able to prototype a lot of these pretty quick and get them out the door and test them out. But ultimately, one of the things I'm having an issue with with respect to like actually making this feasible is I don't know if people would be interested in playing just 12 minigames. And that's the whole game. Like how financially feasible is that? I don't know.
Right. Business Steven.
Yeah.
Steven has entered the chat. Yeah.
Steven Business is like, I don't know, 12 little mini games like this? I don't think people are going to buy that. So I'm like, well, then you got to add a whole bunch of them. But then the mini games start getting ridiculous because I'm not going to come up with like 100 unique mini games that are on theme of fishing. So eventually you will get like you're shooting fish with laser guns or you're bringing them up in a vacuum or whatever it is.
Well, I think that that's actually, I think that having, by context definition of having a collection of mini games, that is the only time where you could have a fishing mini game where you hoover up fish with a vacuum and or shoot them with a tank and or you put weird foods at the end of the line and see what happens.
Yeah.
Because if that was the only fishing mini game in a game, it would be so weird that I don't think I actually would play it long enough. I would think of it so much as a joke that I would not actually play it long enough to really get the sense of like, oh, wait, that's actually good.
Well, this speaks entirely to your worry, which is that the thing about fishing minigames is that no one spends a lot of time in them.
Exactly.
They are kind of meant to be a little bit of role-playing in a lot of games.
They're a distraction often.
They tend to not be iteratively designed or play-tested. Like, if they work mechanically, a lot of times players suffer through them to if they have to play them once or whatever. There are, or if they have to, if they just the sort of player compulsion to like get the high score or get the max amount, people will do that. And maybe they'll find some satisfaction in that. But they don't have to be very good games.
Right. Yeah. Or like so, if someone likes them, it's always that they surprisingly enjoy them and surprisingly find themselves coming back to them.
Or they like them in a holistic sense.
Yeah.
You know, less in an actual sort of game thing. But I mean, a novelty collection is still compelling. Right.
Sure.
Like I think, you know, with the Steven business hat on, I think you won't know the answer to that question until you start putting it together.
Yeah.
And I would maybe recommend to not, it's niche enough and it has its own like marketing angle that like is independent as to whether it's like, as, you know, you might not get word of mouth, but you'll get attention.
Yeah.
Well,
you know,
like people might say like, this is terrible. Have you heard of it?
Yeah. I also think that like, if you had one mini game for each variant of the mechanic, I think that it would be too thin. Mm. But if the whole point of it is a collection of fishing mini games, then you can see which mechanics work well or which ones kind of are not like rich enough on their own. And then you could then try and combining some of them to see if together they make a rich mechanic and then have that be a game. And
you
that's not going to happen until you start playtesting and like identifying different versions and then start playtesting them.
This is also the meta thing. Like that could be a process by which you find the best gameplay experiences and end up with 8 really good ones.
Mm-hmm.
Or that might be a case of like the first 5 you play are all very simple standard mini games you'd find in other games.
Yeah.
Kind of boring but like interesting.
Sure.
You play them once. But then you unlock other ones that are like the next version of that same thing.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That is either more ridiculous or more mechanically in depth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so that can be, that's again, it's sort of a meta question, but like what's interesting in terms of like how does the collection feel as one game?
But I think that you have the luxury to do that because realistically, a mini game in a full game that is not related at all to the full game can't afford that kind of scope.
Right.
Because it's just a throwaway game. But because you have the full point, then you actually can say, okay, on this on its own, this isn't super compelling. I'm going to add a couple little things onto it to see if it becomes more compelling in its own.
Yeah, okay. Those are good points.
Mm-hmm.
These are good points. Okay, that does seem...
So I would not search for a number. I would identify ways to fish or the direct object of like reasons to be fishing.
Yeah.
And then list those out and see, you know, what would you first target because it's most interesting, and then what do you think actually should be combined together?
Yeah. The reason why I was thinking of number is, you know, Steven Business was thinking, oh, this game's had 50 minigames in it.
A little starburst, you know, and a sticker on the box.
You're marketing a non-existent product.
Yeah. I mean, yes. But
is this what marketing does?
A little. I'm not a marketer. But I do think... As I've been making games to sell, I also start thinking of games in terms of like how you can make money off of them.
Yeah.
And so like I also have to think about how financially feasible is it for me to make this thing, because it feels like it's frustrating, but it feels like a waste of time to make something that won't pay the bills.
This is, I will say, longtime listeners are probably, their heads are spinning like mine is, because you have repeatedly on this program said that as a game designer, your principal aim is to just express yourself and make a thing.
Right.
And you have been kind of put your foot down on, I don't really care if anybody plays it.
And I absolutely do agree with that still.
Right.
But I don't have a job. listeners, I'm still looking for work. And it's rough out there.
Right.
So
in that context, we're half hour in.
Okay.
Maybe we spend the rest thinking about like the hows and whys and like the real world of it.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Because it sounds like you're thinking like you're on the job hunt, mm-hmm. but this is something you would actually want to make yourself and release.
Potentially, yes. Or at least I want to figure out if this is a thing that's worth doing. Like, because you're right, I do need to feel motivated to work on something. It has to make sense for me, like, in terms of, like, artistically.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, I'm also wasting my time. If I'm just making something just so I can get paid, then at least I'm getting paid. But, like, I'm not enjoying that.
Right.
And so that feels like a waste of my time, too. Yeah.
I would also wager,
yeah.
And correct me if mm-hmm. I'm overanalyzing you here,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like your time at Future Club was... you did a lot of design work that was sort of outside the scope of your job, but never on your own initial concepts.
Right. I never got to work on Sledgehammer Bride much.
Yeah. Like, there was enthusiasm, but then that project never got started over there. And so maybe this is a reaction to that. It's like one of the freedoms of not having a job is that you can do what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you're thinking, let's take advantage.
Mm-hmm. That's what one of the unfortunate things about working at Future Club for the 3 years is we don't have anything. We didn't make anything that was released that I could put on my portfolio.
Yeah.
And so, like, making...
Well, this is advice for everyone listening, too, is if you're in a situation like that, check with your contracts, see what you actually can, you know, show off, especially if you're a smaller company and you didn't sign, like, a hugely bulletproof NDA or something.
Yeah.
And you're still very friendly with everybody there. You could probably look into what you can put on your portfolio.
And also, you had a Kickstarter. You have marketing and sales assets and gameplay and things like that you can use that was made for public eye.
Right. We're doing a better... We're in a little bit of a better position than, like, somebody who had worked on a prototype for 3 years and didn't get anything, and, like, maybe they worked on it with the publisher and...
And they signed a thing that says they can't say squat.
And it's locked in NDAs or whatever else. We're in a better position than that. But still, it's not a finished product.
Yeah.
So it doesn't... It doesn't show the skills, including how to finish a game, which is a skill. So I think that, like, that's kind of where – that's why I'm like, well, it would be nice if I had something that I could put on my portfolio, something that I've been working on recently that people can see and know that I'm doing something.
Okay. So here's the thing. I promised you before we started the show that I had an idea for you on this. I think you should make this as a playdate game.
Oh.
One, it's got a crank.
It does have a crank.
And the first thing people... So, like, when everyone saw the Wii for the first time, everyone's like, that's going to be the first-person shooter console.
Yes.
People would not stop talking about that.
Yes.
And it didn't happen.
Yeah.
For many reasons.
Mm.
When people saw the Playdate, mm-hmm. the only thing people said is, that's going to be where all the fishing minigames
are. Right, right.
And there are not that many.
Yeah,
there's one or two fishing games. And so... I think this would be good for you for a couple of reasons.
Okay.
So this is my pitch.
Okay.
One, crank.
Yeah.
All right. So if that doesn't sell you, I've got other reasons.
Okay.
Two, it's a very constrained development environment.
Yeah.
Which might be what you need.
Yeah.
Right? It's also, you can do the art yourself.
True.
You might have fun doing it. You don't have to.
I probably won't have fun doing it, but okay.
Right. So there's, you know what I mean? It doesn't have all the sort of weightiness of other platforms.
Mm-hmm.
Three, the distribution avenues are more available to you as an independent artist than other sort of like one person indie games.
Sure. Okay.
Right. The thing about the Playdate that I always like to tell people is, like, you can have a team of 12 professionals working on a Playdate game mm-hmm. for 5 years,
mm-hmm.
and what will come out of that is kind of indistinguishable from something one person does in 4 months.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one might be better than the other for all sorts of reasons, but it's, you basically saturate the production capacity of the hardware almost immediately as a single developer. And so I think if you're looking for something that could be commercially viable, you know, the Playdate catalog is growing and, you know, I know some people over there.
Yeah.
So, but also just selling on itch. Like, it's something that I think if you're looking to do something with the energy you have, because you're going to get a job pretty soon, I suspect.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're probably going to not have this time for long.
I got to manifest it. So I'm saying yes.
Yeah. But if you're looking for a project that you spend couple months, maybe a year on,
mm-hmm.
and that you can release yourself, I think this could work for you.
Sure.
And, you know, I've got an extra dev unit I can loan you for as long as you need.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that, Mark.
I've also built a game engine you can use with it.
Uh-huh. And I know the person who's worked on it, so
yeah,
that's great. I do think that it makes sense to do on Playdate. I've never understood the business model of a Playdate, so I would need explaining on that, how that works. We don't need to do that here.
Yeah.
But
it's... It, In short, yeah. It's just there are a million ways to make and sell video games.
Yes.
On Playdate, there's like two or three ways.
Okay. And oh,
just,
and that
it I just mean, makes things much simpler. It has a relatively large install base.
Yeah.
Games, the average price of a game is about $5. Mm. It's not down to the $1-$2 mobile game.
Oh,
area.
That's good.
Panic has made an effort to keep prices as high as possible.
Yeah.
They curate their catalog, mm-hmm. But they also drop like 6 or 7 new games every week.
Yeah.
So it's actually not especially difficult to be part of that curated catalog.
Okay.
And which means that you have this install base, looks at this catalog of a few hundred games that's growing slowly. Mm-hmm. And so accesses, if you've got the energy and if you make something that's pretty good, you can get part of that thing.
Yeah.
The drawbacks then, and why I think it's not being like flooded with indie developers,
yeah.
is because people don't want to work on a system with no color. They like don't want to learn Lua.
Yeah.
I don't blame them.
That is a deterrent.
You know what I mean? It's different from anything they know.
Yeah.
But as someone who's definitely like gotten my hands deep into it, you in particular, I think, would take to it really well.
Okay.
Because you have a really strong engineering background, mm-hmm. but like your interest is in just like iteration and design.
Yes.
This is kind of the perfect platform for you.
Okay. That's a good pitch.
If nothing else, it'd be a good way to prototype things.
Yeah.
Because there are things you can't, there's a ceiling to like what you can literally do with it.
Yeah.
And that might actually just help you prototype.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll take that into serious consideration.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely think that's worth looking into. Mm-hmm. I had not considered that, the Playdate.
Yeah.
I think part of the thing is like I mostly just see prototypes for Playdate because you show them at the play.
Yes. Yes.
Playtest event here. And so like I haven't actually seen any.
What you're gonna do?
Fully released games.
I'm gonna send you home today.
Okay.
With one of my Playdates.
Okay.
That has like 60 games on it.
Sure. Cool.
And just you know. Enjoy it, and it's a, you know,
see heck yeah, free stuff. Let's go.
I'll say, I've been so busy.
Yeah,
working on Blippo.
Mm-hmm.
September 23rd. It's please
exciting, exciting.
Wishlist on Steam and Switch. I think by the time listeners hear this, you can pre-order it on Switch. I believe.
Okay.
I might be wrong about that, but like whatever. Put it on your calendar, September 23rd. You know, Blippo's on Playdate.
Yeah.
That was its first version. And it was part of Season 2, which is a bunch of games. And I bought that, and I haven't played a single one of those games yet. I've been so busy.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell me how they are.
Yeah, for sure. Cool.
Okay, all right. I took up too much of the show with that pitch.
No. I think that was helpful. I hadn't considered like how to distribute such a game.
Yeah.
I was like, well, I just defaulted to Steam because everybody does, and that's like, you know, that's Monopoly.
There's a burden you have, which is that you've had a couple release titles.
Yes.
That I think a lot of indie developers, they kind of like if I don't work at a studio, I kind of can just make a thing and put it on itch.
Yeah.
Maybe I can spend something, put it on Steam, and we'll see it.
Yeah.
And I think that people like that's my avenues. Whereas you have released things on consoles and Steam, and we've worked in more professional environments,
mm-hmm.
so you probably kind of leave those things behind a little bit.
Yeah.
The sort of just like make a thing as an artist and stick it out in the world.
Yeah.
But because you've kind of like moved past that a little bit.
Well, or if I make a thing as an artist, I don't think to actually give it to people. In the actual world, I will just show someone that. I'll be like, hey, Mark, check this out. Hey, Lydia, look at this.
Yeah. So it is still, I mean, you can just, you know, fire up, you know, the latest Unity, make a thing, and just like get it out on itch, and that could be that.
Yeah.
That is available to you and perfectly viable.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not, you know, people do make a living doing that kind of thing.
Right.
But I think if you're looking for like, you know, that scale, but in a sort of distribution environment that as a professional you are now more accustomed to.
Yeah.
Playdate's kind of the shortcut to that.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's good to know. It's very good to know. I'm looking forward to playing on the Playdate in the future.
Yeah.
So that'd be good.
So separately from that, I want to ask you about like what would be step one for you to actually start assembling this thing?
I would just make a fishing mini game right off the bat. I'm thinking the bobber one because that's easy. You just wait until the bobber comes up, random timer, press the button when it happens. If you don't, you don't get the fish.
Mm-hmm.
And then just start with that, iterate off of that. And so I guess that's effectively what I would want to start with. And then I would just keep building off of that idea. And then once I feel like this is worth something, to me, not even necessarily financially, then I would move on to another version of a fishing mini game and try to build that as simply as possible and then add more things to
it. Yeah.
That's dangerous, though, because if you don't start with an actual concept, you'll just keep building and it'll never get done.
Well, yeah, and
it'll
especially because, like, the bobber, flip the wrist, get a fish is a complete sentence, and it's not a satisfying one.
Yes.
I think you need to start by purposely trying to shake up and combine a couple different things in each game. So, okay, bobber, it bounces, you click it at the right time, then what? Is it you flick your wrist and you have, and it's like in the air and then you got to catch the fish? Mm. Does it have anything to do with like the fish is there and you need to get the hook out and start cleaning it?
Yeah.
Is it you need to quickly assess that it is legal to keep the fish because like there's certain catch laws, and then that's like
Lydia is slowly like, taking the mini out of this mini game.
Well, no, and it's like, is it like an afternoon
at the lake?
Is it a papers please kind of situation where you've caught the fish and you have to quickly see if you're allowed to keep it and then toss it back if you can't? There needs to be if you're gonna start with like the most basic, most boring thing. I think, make that first. But design-wise, you need to figure out what the and
it needs to be compelling, yes.
Because that's when you shake it up a little bit.
Yeah.
And then that's the thing. Because even Stardew Valley or any form of mashing, there's the timing first part, and then they've added something else. They've added another little mechanic where you have to do something and have some form of skill in order to successfully catch the fish. Because just clicking the button at the right time, flicking the wrist, getting the fish is boring.
Yeah. That's how Animal Crossing does it, I'm pretty sure. Is it just press the button once the fish touches the bobber?
Well, that's the thing about these games, is they're all really boring.
Well, yeah. So, yeah, they need to be, it needs to be more interesting than that.
Needs is a strong word, because
I would like it to be more interesting than that.
I mean, one way to do it is to time box yourself. Mm. Say, build one prototype a week.
Yeah.
And then once you've done 5 or 6 weeks, you've got 5 or 6 games, and then pick one to iterate on, spend another week.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, because you're working with an interesting sort of like, many things can get out of proportion when it comes to scale.
Yes.
You might have to actually impose some production limits on yourself in order to actually get something produced.
What I actually I like to start with research in a lot of things. That's just kind of how I am, and at least when it comes to games, is I would actually try playing some of the classic mechanics of fishing games and see how long you can just play the minigame.
Sure.
And then once you see how long before you genuinely, like, it's painful to keep going, figure out what you liked about it and why it lasted a while or didn't last a long time.
Sure.
Because, like, when I did the Google search just to supplement what I could think of off the top of my head, and I found a Reddit post, someone actually said, you know, what are some of the best fishing minigames for full game releases on PC? And so many people said Red Dead Redemption 2 was like top tier, really satisfying. I would see what's out there, see how long you can last just playing the fishing minigame, and then kind of get a sense of, well, why was it effective or not? Because then you could also, that gives you a little bit more of a direction of like, well, did they do the classic bobber? What did they add to it, or what did they consciously go against that model, and how did they go against that model, and why?
Start
right away with one of your oddball ones and go, okay, fishing is the verb. How can I corrupt the verb fishing and still have it be the verb of this game?
Yeah.
Because that, I think, would also shake things up immediately, but you could start with a really simple interaction.
Sure. That's a good idea. Because it would be helpful to like think of it. Yeah, the weirdest you could possibly get. Figure out your limit and then build from that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I think personally, I as much as I like to do research, I oftentimes will use doing research as an excuse to just play games. I'm hesitant to be like, I'm doing research and I'm just playing Red Dead Redemption for 10 hours. I don't know that I'm not going to be playing that.
I have a bit of a solve for this, which is
get a babysitter.
That's my brother.
have a prototype round, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But actually just do the thing that people do when they start learning game development. Just recreate 4 or 5 existing games and play your own prototypes in a way that Lydia's describing to see what you can get from that. And then if you're like, oh, this mechanic is from this game, and actually it gets kind of boring after a little while, I'm going to tweak it.
Mm-hmm.
And then that can be your iteration.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking is like, I want to do something because part of it is like, I already play, well, I haven't been playing that many games, even though I don't have a job. But I'm already like, you know, inclined to just play games. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to do too much research, but I do want to do some research because I do need to know the variety. But I kind of want to like, I'm itching to have a reason to make something. And that's kind of why I'm like, I should just get started with something.
Yeah.
So I like the idea of like just building something and playing that. And it can be based off of another mini game that I already know of already. And then play that a bunch and see what's interesting about that and build that out more.
Yeah. I mean, like, this is where I like to use Let's Plays, where it's like, I remember games that have a thing, and then I find it, and I watch that, and I watch it a bunch of times, and I can infer some things, and I can't infer some other things, but at least then you can see, oh, this particular mechanic would be interesting for me to prototype, figure out how it works, and then to play myself.
Yeah.
Also, I would genuinely suggest throwing in one of your oddball ideas.
Sure.
Like, finding the mechanically most simple version, and seeing how that stacks up, because I think even if it itself is not very good, I think it would be really interesting to compare to the extant models of fishing games to see where the overlaps are.
Yeah.
Because then that tells you actually what makes a fishing game a fishing game.
Yeah.
By figuring out why it's is somehow a fishing game or why it really isn't.
Right. I mean, oftentimes most with fishing minigames are trying to emulate the feeling of actually catching a fish.
Yeah.
With this very simply.
Yeah.
Because like, you know, it's the little bit of a epic RPG or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so they will emulate that as to the best of ability as simply as possible. And I think that's an interesting design goal for their purposes. For my purpose, I need to build out that little bitty game into something that is compelling enough for people to want to play 10 or 12.
You are absent the context of the larger game.
Yeah.
So a way to do it, if because I would recommend like whatever form it takes, if you just get started, these questions will just start to answer themselves.
Yeah.
You know, rather than like planning to start, like just you know, pen to paper.
Mm.
A valid avenue for this, which is sort of not how I would normally approach any game project, but for this particular context might make a lot of sense, is just prototyping the pure mechanics of just like the, you know, the bar that slides up and down on the thing and getting it in the red zone or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, and just don't worry about it feeling or looking like fishing.
Yeah.
That can come later.
Right.
And you could probably bang out a lot of those quickly.
For sure.
Think of which ones are engaging as fidget toys, essentially. Then maybe iterate on that to make it feel a little closer to a fishing experience. Because you're absent that context, you're not really going to know if it feels like fishing in this game,
because
there is no larger game.
Right.
Right? So you kind of have to work backwards a little bit, I think.
Yeah. Something that also comes to mind and is a very, you don't have to do this, it's a very different methodology or different way that you could structure your collection. But one of the ways that scope ends up expanding so much with fishing minigames is bait matters, rods matter, and there's a lot of different types of fish in different locales and biomes. So, query, think about this. Those are usually where scope explodes because you're adding stuff to make that one interaction more playable.
Mm-hmm.
What if that is that periphery aspect of fishing is one of the games? So, for example, if you ever want to watch some really soothing materials, watching people make fishing lures is really interesting because there's a whole lot of materials that they use. They make different shapes. It's an art.
Yeah, so it's a crafting project. Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool and beautiful, and a lot of them are quite soothing to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But what if, you know, if you have the just click and bob and flick up and you get a fish, is that the reward for having spent time making an interesting bobber?
Sure.
And like, that's like a tiny little interaction at the end to show, like, yeah, I did a really good job at making this bobber. Is the evaluating a fish on what type is it, how big is it, you know, can I keep it? Is that part worth having its own minigame as part of, like, after you've caught it?
Yeah.
Is the, I was butchering the fish. You know, you've caught a fish.
Yeah.
You're going to bring it home to cook for your fam because it's, you know, you had a great afternoon. You got a couple of fish. It's enough for lunch. you know, is that part of it too?
Yeah.
There's just looking at, instead of it's the act of fishing in terms of like literally getting out of the water, instead looking at what the act of fishing is.
Yeah.
It sounds like you are, though, more interested in fishing mini games as a, that's the experience, the fishing mini game, not necessarily the fishing.
Yes.
I was more thinking like, where can you find other mini games within simulated fishing? Because I think, again, we poked at it a lot, like fishing mini games are aiming to get a simulation of fishing, which is actually not a simulation of fishing.
No.
Oh yeah, they're almost expressly not interested in the real experience of fishing.
Yeah. I don't know if this is the right term, but it's a simulacra of fishing.
I mean, it's, I don't think it's even trying to do that necessarily.
Yeah.
It's I think part of that, and this is I think why people make memes about fishing minigames, is that those minigames themselves have formed their own little pocket of culture.
Yes.
Yes.
Right? If you make a fishing minigame, it's in conversation with all the fishing minigames of the past.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily you starting from scratch saying, I want to make a minigame where you, like, I don't know, like fish or something.
Yeah.
Like, it, you no one really has that. Whereas if you, in a game, make, I'm going to make a minigame where you like, play poker in this third-person action game where you go to the restaurant or the bar and play poker, mm-hmm. like, then you're like, oh, I'm going to simulate a poker game. Like,
yeah.
That's...
Yeah.
With fishing minigames, I think it's much more like, what makes a fishing minigame, quote-unquote?
Yeah.
Not what makes a minigame where you fish.
Yeah, yeah. It's
and kinda, that sounds like what's attracting you to this in
that's
in
part
a
of it. It's kind of like, well, the way that people, I think, look at fishing minigames is kind of like how whether or not you can pet the dog in a video game.
Yeah.
It's like people expect you to be able to pet a dog in a minigame, and so they judge the game based off of that.
Yeah.
It's kind of like whether or not this game has a fishing minigame or not sort of thing.
Well, I think what you definitely need then is that if you're going to have sort of a top-down map where you wander from game to game or a third person and the island you walk around, you do need to have a fishing minigame behind the waterfall.
Oh.
Yeah, that makes sense. Oh, you could have a fishing minigame where you meet a bear who's at the top of the waterfall, and it's catching salmon, and that's the minigame. The bear is like, eh, and you're like, oh, okay, cool, and it teaches you how to catch salmon.
I like the idea that the bear just goes, eh, and you're like, yeah, I get it now.
Yeah.
That's the tutorial.
Acknowledgement, but then goes back to its fishing thing. Because, man, it's got to eat the salmon. It's really hungry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of ways to go about this. I'm definitely going to look into working on some of this now because I'm inspired. Thank y'all for that. Maybe this will help listeners also get inspired to work on their little things too. Cool.
Well, if listeners want to play along in our next recording session, two episodes from now, I'm going to ask how you're doing.
Oh, good.
How's it coming along, Steven, is what I'll say.
Uh-oh.
Just get ready for me to ask that.
Okay. You know.
So that he's the second
babysitter.
Listener,
if you want to play along, if you want to have your own project that you want to kick into gear, imagine me asking you how's it going, because I'll be asking Steven shortly.
Yeah, it is helpful to say it publicly so people can ask me about it later.
You should print a photo of yourself with like the meme font that says, how's it going, Steven, and put it on the back of the Playdate that you're letting him borrow.
It's a really good idea. That'll save me some trouble.
Please don't do that.
Hey, it's his Playdate.
It's true.
That's our show. For show notes and links to this and other nice thinkings, go to our website, nicegames.club. Nice Games Club is on Patreon. Support the show and get stuff, including ad-free episodes, delivered to you 1 week early. Sign up at patreon.com/nicegamesclub. Discuss this episode or others or whatever with your fellow listeners on Discord. Stop by nicegames.club/discord and say hello.
So, until we start again, remember to
play nice
and make nice.
Well, my nickname around the office is Stephen Business.
Yes.
I'm thinking about changing my last name to Business. So people know, I mean business. I sell business. I do business.